All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 32. We're going to start there, and then we've got a lot of other verses we're going to go to tonight. We're going to talk tonight about, I titled this message, Judas Goats versus Sheep. Flock or a fake? I'm going to start to say, let me pray, then I'm going to get into this. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, dear God, as we look at this, as we start this series out, Lord, and look at some of these things, help us to be able to take these metaphors of Scripture and these types that are there and be able to rightly divide them and understand exactly the lessons that you have for us, for our profit and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to start a series here with you tonight, and I'm probably going to continue it on Sunday, Lord willing. We'll see. But I want to talk to you about when Jesus talks about a few different things in the Bible, I think we really ought to pay attention to everything he says. But he talks about goats. Okay, he talks about goats. He talks about sheep. He talks about the hireling. He talks about the shepherds, and that he's the good shepherd. And he talks about the wolf, right? He talks about a wolf. Now, there are many things that he talks about in the Scriptures, and there are many. He's making a point. He's speaking in parables, okay? And he's explaining some things to us. And I think we ought to pay attention to them, because there's a lot of valuable lessons that are there for us. They're written for our admonition, for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. So in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 32, this is important for a number of reasons, okay? Let me read the verse, and then I'll explain to you. Read a couple verses, then I'll explain to you. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now there's a reason why the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Amen. And we're not going to really concentrate on that a lot, because I'm going to pick that up when I talk about hirelings versus shepherds. Okay? And I really expound on that with you in the weeks to come. I want to do that. I want to teach you some things about that are very important. But it says here that the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. There's a reason for that, because they don't act alike. There's a difference in sheep and goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand. That right hand is the right hand of power, right? Every time we think about the right hand, we think of that's the favor hand, right? In the Bible, that's the favor, that's the power, that's the authority. That's the good place to be, is at the right hand, okay? And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. If you're left-handed, I'm sorry. Anybody here left-handed? Nobody wants to admit it. Okay, well, you're in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. You're not. I'm kidding. But anyway, a little late now to do anything about it. But then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. Now, what a study. The Bible shows us the difference in a goat and a sheep, right? In the goats and the sheep. The first message we're going to look at is what a goat is. That's all we're going to talk about tonight, really, is what is a goat? Its characteristics and why they are nothing like sheep. Though both are animals and both have four legs and both seem to be similar in many ways, they are not the same. And that becomes evident as we look at their characteristics. If you talk to anybody who's had goats, Brother Andrew, did you have goats? You did. Brother Jim had goats too. I had a conversation with Brother Jim about his goats, and it was funny. As I was going through this study, I just called Brother Jim and I was talking to him a little bit, and it was funny. I told him I was going to preach on this, and he started telling me everything that I was studying about goats, and he was like just verifying it. Like, yeah, like this is true. That's what happens. We're going to go over some of those things tonight. So he's had some experience with goats. Brother Andrews told me the same thing about goats that Brother Jim's basically told me as well. So there's a couple witnesses there to that. There's a reason why God used that example in the Scriptures. We're going to look at the goats. You know, then we're going to look at what Jesus calls my sheep. What does he mean by that? My sheep. Why does he call them his sheep? What does it mean? Then we're going to look at the good shepherd and the characteristics of the Good Shepherd, who Christ is. Really look at who Christ is as a shepherd and why he is called a shepherd. And break that down and study that. Okay, and just kind of look at the importance of that. Jesus didn't say things because they didn't matter. Do you understand that? He said it to teach you something. He put it in his word so you would study to find out what he was exactly talking about. Those people that were shepherds of the day, they understood better than we do what he was talking about when he said he was the good shepherd and that he was the door. They understood what that meant very well. And you have to really study that and not just gloss over it in order to understand, what did he mean by that? What did he mean by he was the great shepherd, the door, all these other things? Why he called them his sheep and the goats? Right? We need to look at all that. Well, so we're going to look at the good shepherd. Then we're going to look at hirelings versus shepherds. There's a difference. Big difference. Right? And then wolves. Talk about wolves. Now, I want you to understand something before we get started here. And I'll reiterate this through this message tonight. There, I want you to understand something. There is a difference between a wolf and a goat. Okay? I've met some wolves. Right? They will eat the goats, too. I've met some wolves. Quite a few, right? But and I've also met some goats. Goats aren't nearly as destructive as wolves. They're still destructive to the flock, and they still disrupt the flock. And there are Judas goats, which we're going to talk about, which are dangerous. But there's a difference in that and a wolf. If you see a wolf come up, a goat come up to the sheep, he's not going to destroy all the sheep. But when a wolf comes up to the sheep, he's going to destroy anything in his path. Goat, sheep, shepherd if he can. Right? Anything he can. So we'll talk about the wolves too. We're not going to do that right now, but we'll hit that later. So now, for now, let's talk about goats. Funny thing to talk about, right? Overall, a goat's reputation is less than positive. Even goat metaphors are negative. For instance, look at that old goat. Right? Refers to an old fool or a dirty old man or a woman or something. Or you get my goat applies to a person who irritates another. Right? The poem Mary Had a Little Lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It gives such a positive look at a little lamb. But think about this, when the gypsy girl Esmeralda in The Hunchback of Notre Dame has a pet goat that performs tricks, the people want to hang the girl because they presume she's using witchcraft. Right? Think about that, though. Goats, I mean, we understand that the goat god, all that is rebellion to God. That's all that represents. That too. But if you understand something about that, they represent that. Right? There's a goat out front, yeah. And that's what goats do. Hopefully that's not David Strand playing around, but it's not. I'm just kidding. But anyway, but when you look at goats, they tend to be seen in a negative way. Perhaps it's because of the natural tendencies that a goat displays. So let's look at this. What are some of the characteristics of a goat? And then I'm going to give you some scripture that go along with it tonight. A little different message tonight, but it kind of sets the pace for things. But really, I want you to understand the difference when a goat is in the flock and a wolf is in the flock. There are differences. There are differences. Now, goats are fiercely independent. They won't flock up. They all go their own way and will not stay together. They have no herd mentality at all. They don't like to be together. They'll find a way to escape. They'll find a way to get around. They'll be independent of others, and they'll get the other ones to eventually follow them. But they don't really want to be together that bad. They don't. They don't really like it. They're not like sheep. Sheep survive by being together in a flock. Goats, they are fiercely independent. And I know you've heard this phrase before. They'll go it alone. Right? Now, they might not be a wolf, but they certainly are goats. Right? Listen, I've pastured goats before. and tried to help them, even though they opposed themselves. Pastoring people trying to put out fires that are everywhere. When you have goats in the flock, what you're doing is just like what Jim had told me his sons were doing when they're going around and they're always constantly trying to keep the goats in the place they're supposed to be. And they're running around like this every day, like putting out these little fires that the goats are getting into and causing trouble and causing, you know what? A lot of churches are like that. Where they're constantly, they're not tending sheep. They're entertaining goats. They're trying to keep the goats together and flocked up. Listen, when I have people that tell me they want to leave, you know what I tell them? See ya. Okay, bye. If you're set on it, if your heart is set on it, then go. You know why? Because you can't keep people penned up if they don't want to be there. Do you understand that? You can't. As much as you'd like to, you're not going to be able to. And if they're a goat, which means they're not saved, by the way, if they're a goat, then you definitely don't want to keep them there. And a shepherd will run around trying to keep that goat in there. And you just ain't going to do it. Eventually, they're going to get out. Trying to pasture people in the flock that don't want to be flocked up. And goats are always looking to escape from whatever or wherever or whatever protection area they are in. They are constantly trying to escape. Jim said every time he builds a fence, every time he builds them, man, they figure out a way to get out of there because they don't want to be in there. Sheep aren't like that. Sheep aren't like that at all. They're not looking for a way to get out. They wander off sometimes, right? But they don't want to get out. They're not looking for a way to get out. Goats are naturally curious. They are also agile and well known for their ability to climb and balance in precarious places. This makes them the only ruminant to regularly climb trees. They'll climb up a tree. They'll climb the side of a mountain. We'll talk about that in a little while. Due to their agility and their inquisitiveness, they are notorious for escaping their pens by testing fences and enclosures, either intentionally or simply because they are used to climb on. If any of the fencing can be overcome, goats will almost inevitably escape. Due to their intelligence, once a goat has discovered a weakness in the fence, they will exploit it repeatedly. And other goats will observe and quickly learn the same method. Now listen to me, I want you to understand something. They'll exploit weaknesses. That's what goats do. There'll be people that come into the flock sometimes, and they're goats, and they're not sheep, and they'll exploit people's weaknesses. Listen, goats, their intent is different than a wolf, okay? Goats follow their own depravity. Wolves are satanic. They're sent there by Satan. Right. Goats just follow their own depravity. They're just lost people that they follow their own depravity. They're not really trying to hurt anybody per se. No, they're not. They're not wolves. They're not trying to eat the sheep. But they will distract them. And they will lead them astray. But goats are very intelligent, so people think, oh, they're just that dumb goat. They're so smart, they're stupid, though, is what it's just because they find ingenious ways to do things. They won't stay with a herd or a flock. They recognize no real authority over them. Goats don't recognize any real authority over them. They don't look to a shepherd. A goat, what they do is they do what is right in their own eyes. They run away from the shepherd, right? They don't want anything to do with them. Except at times, and we'll talk about that. Pastors can spend all their time trying to keep the goats in the herd. Goats are more intelligent, independent, and smarter than sheep, and they can adapt themselves with the environment easily, more easily than sheep can. They can just adapt better. Goats depend on themselves and not on a shepherd. They are independent. Goats trust in their own intelligence. You ever met people like that in an assembly that they trust in their own intelligence? They got it all figured out. They have it all figured out. They're all set, right? Uh-huh. They're goats. They're not sheep. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, please. This goes against what a sheep is supposed to be. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Goats are very self-willed and double-minded. Listen, goats will be sweet to you and come up and want you to pet them. Every goat I've ever been around, you could pet them. I mean, I've walked up to them and pet them. But when they see the fence is down, they'll rip or trample or horn you to get out that fence. They don't care. They'll break your arm. You can grab onto their arm. They'll break your arm to get away from you. They're double-minded. Goats in a congregation tend to divide it, leading the sheep astray. We're going to talk about that a little bit further, but what goats will do is they get their own ideas in the assembly, and they'll start leading people away from the shepherd. They'll lead the sheep away from the shepherd. They're always butting heads, that's right. And they're always butting heads with each other. Goats are for domination, that's right, so they can have the preeminence. So they will ram each other with their horns. They'll lock horns all the time. Ever seen any of those? A goat follows only its own lead, creating disunity when he comes in contact with others in the flock. Because of his independent nature, he often finds himself in contention with the shepherd for leadership of the flock, leading some astray. We see this many times in a church. When goats come into the flock, they seek to cause divisions and schisms and divide the sheep. For no reason, just because they're self-willed. There's no real reason to do it, but that's what goats do. Goats also possess a stubborn streak. Very stubborn. I mean, a goat will wrap itself up. Jim was telling me a story about a goat wrapping itself up so tight that it was strangling itself, and Jim was trying to help this goat get free so it didn't die. And it would continue, it was so stubborn that it continued to go the same direction it was going. Now, I've pastored people like that, that they are wrapped up so tight, and they are opposing themselves so greatly and ready to destroy themselves, and they will not accept the help they need because they're stubborn. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. God rejected Saul because he disobeyed him, because he rebelled against him. Goats are very rebellious. Different than a sheep. A sheep will stay there, man. Sheep will stay together to survive. You know, they know they have to survive to be together, but a goat's like, I don't care, I'm going my own way. They don't care what happens. Goats do not want to listen. They're rebellious and want to butt and fight and not submit to the shepherd. They fight the herd mentality completely. You know, a story here one tells, a friend once tried to move a goat in a certain direction. He grabbed it by the horns and pushed and pulled and tugged, no matter how or in what direction he tried to move the goat, it resisted. He could not budge it one inch. Then when he let it go, it just trotted off in the direction the goat wanted to go in. Self-willed. They can't stay in a herd very long. They can't stay in the flock very long. Time reveals what they really are. And their own self-will drives them away. Another friend grew up on a farm and has a long experience with goats. As a youth, he and his brother and sister more or less turned some goats into pets. Once after the big noon meal, his mother took the kids down the road to their grandfather's house. Knowing they would not be gone very long, his mother decided not to clear the table. When they returned home, though, they found the biggest of the goats standing right in the middle of the table. Amidst all the dishes and leftovers, the screen door had been no match for the goat. One night before they had electricity installed in their house, his mother picked up a lamp and went to the back bedroom. Moments later, the family heard her screaming, "Someone's in there." Grabbing his gun, his father went to confront the intruder. Instead of a burglar, he found the same goat in the bed under the covers. With only his eyes peering out. Goats are intelligent and playful, but impulsive, unpredictable, and devious. They're devious. Goats follow their own stomach. You know, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." The sheep follow the shepherd. They follow Jesus. And they follow his pattern and his way. We'll talk about that another day. But goats follow their own stomach. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 18. Paul dealt with goats. He dealt with a lot of them. He dealt with a lot of wolves, too. But he knew the difference in the two. And he explains the difference in them. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 18. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." They follow their own belly. That's what a goat does. It follows its own belly. It doesn't follow the shepherd or depend upon it. It follows its own desires. Zechariah 10:3. "Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse in the battle." God uses the goat to symbolize evil in numerous instances. That's one of them right there. God shows the evil that is there. Goats are impulsive and unpredictable and devious. Now, we understand that that's a picture there of Israel and what God's going to do, but the picture is still the same. There are goats and there are sheep. And that's why Jesus said he was the great shepherd of the sheep. And there's going to be goats that try to come in. And goats don't get along too good with sheep, too well with sheep. They tend to not get along very well. And then I suppose there are some churches that are full of goats alone, and that's all they really have there. And the few sheep that are there don't last very long. Right? Turn to Psalms 35:20, please. They're deceitful. Goats can be very deceitful and devious. Psalms 35:20. "For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land." Then turn to Psalms 50, verse number 19. Now, they follow their own depraved nature. That's the thing about a goat, is they have a depraved nature. It doesn't necessarily mean they have a sinister plan in mind of satanic destruction or anything like that. It means they're a goat. It's their nature. They just follow it. They follow their devious nature. Just like the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? They follow their own depravity. Yes, not everything is some satanic plot from hell that is devised by the devil. It's just normal depravity. I would dare say that most of the things that go on are just normal depravity. You don't get to have some super satanic soldier pass. It's just normal depravity. Yeah, you're just a sinner and wicked as hell. And you're a fallen creature that has never been regenerated, never been made new. So you're dead. And you do what dead people do. That's what happens. Then there's wolves, but we'll talk about them later. Let's see, where are we? Psalm 50:19. "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Psalm 52:2. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Proverbs 26:24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. That's what goats do in a flock of sheep. They dissemble. They cause disunity. They cause problems. He that hateth dissembles with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. Whew. Wow. That is one powerful verse, isn't it? One revealing one. Whose hatred is covered by deceit. They cover their hatred in deceit when they really hate your guts. But that's Proverbs 26:24. Oh, 25 is that part. Actually, 26 is that one, sorry. Whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Amen. That's what God does. God will reveal whether there's goats or wolves among you. He'll reveal it. That's what he does. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Whew. Yeah. That's why it's so deceitful. Romans 3:13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. And Paul talks about it, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Also, you know what? Goats are very contrary. They're very contrary as well. They can never go along with the flock. They have to be contrary, right? Romans 16:17. Paul warns about that. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. He says, you know what? If they're contrary to what you've learned, avoid them. They could be goats. Goats are interesting. When they are grazing, it is not unusual to see several with their heads through a fence, straining to reach the grass that is always greener on the other side. Never content. I'm going to get to that, yeah. Never content. They can't be content with the church that they're in, the people they're around, the pastor that they have over them. They can never be content with that. They always have to be looking somewhere else for the perfection that they believe they have. Folklore says that goats have slits in their eyes to enable them to see around corners where the grazing is better. It's a little joke, but it's funny. If they're not poking their heads through fences, they may be standing on their hind legs, stretching for those tender leaves just out of reach. Food would be right there, but they're going to reach for that. Right? Goats are never content with what they have. Never content. Luke 3:14, and the soldier likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Philippians 4:11, Paul talks about this, contentment. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, goats cannot be content with any church, with any teacher, with any pastor. There is always someone better. You know, the internet is full of goats completely. I mean, it's just... They come under the guise of Christians. but they are nothing more than a bunch of goats. They hop from one teacher to the next, always looking for a reason why they can leave the one that they're at. Never satisfied. They go everywhere, bouncing everywhere. There's no fence that will hold them in. There is no flock that they can stay in. There is nothing. Why? Because they cannot be content. They are not content. You see it online right now. They look for an excuse to believe something about somebody so they can discredit everything that person says. That's what they do. So it gives them a pass to live a lifestyle of rebellion to God. What is that? It's a goat. It's not a sheep. Sheep have a desire to flock. Right, they have a desire to flock up. Sheep want to be in a flock. Right, and they end up in one because they're sheep. We'll talk about sheep on Sunday, but lone sheep are sick sheep. There's something wrong with them. They have a desire to be in a flock. Right. And there's some out there, many sheep out there that are hurting because they don't have a shepherd and a flock to be in. A shepherd on this earth anyway. But goats, they can't be content. There's always someone better out there. There's always someone better to learn from. They find a flaw in someone and the goats are gone. Goats, they're not content. Contentment is a matter of the heart. Yep. Yes, they will. I'm going to talk about that. They will eat anything. Goats will eat anything and sheep are a little pickier. Right, they have to eat nutritious stuff to survive, but goats, they'll graze on anything that comes their way. Anything. So what's that mean? Spiritually, it means a lot. Spiritually, it means that you'll either, you know what goats like? They like false doctrine. You know what else they like? They like the flash in the pan. They like the teachings on spurious things. They like all the excitement and the glitz and the glamour and things like that. They don't want the meat or the milk of the word. They want to be entertained. Goats must be entertained. Right. That's why they want radio shows 3 hours long about things like that. That's why they want those. That's why those are the things. And if you see online, those are the things that become most popular. Because that's what people are attracted to. Now, not all of them are lost, but a good many of them are probably lost. They want fast food. That's right. They don't want to learn the milk and the meat. Some people want to be informed, and I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there's an element out there that only looks for that Illuminati stuff, and that's all they want to hear about, is that kind of stuff. No, nothing about the... Yeah, they don't want to hear about the marriage sermons or raising children or doing right or living holy. Or they don't want to hear about that stuff. Right? The Heart series, the Christian Life series. They don't want to hear those things. They want to hear about all those other things. But we as a flock, we know we need those things. We need to hear about those things. There's only so much that needs to be said about those other things. But we need those... We need... Yes, they do. Yes, they do, because they're not right with God. And those things give them appearance. If they can bash the Illuminati, there's some preacher, and that's all he talks about. And he's got like 75,000 views on YouTube on all his videos. And they're just, honestly, it's a bunch of fluff. It's always about like spooky alien Scott Johnson stuff. Nephilim knocking trees down and fallen angels coming in and strong spiritual warfare. Right? In case you were curious about angels and fallen angels knocking trees down and strong spiritual warfare, there you can go see that show. $40 poster. They're not free. They're like $40. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Hey, I don't mind seeing preachers sell books that cost them money to produce. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when you start turning your YouTube channel into that and then making fun of preachers that are doing all that other stuff, give me a break. Really, seriously, who does that? Yeah, exactly. So there you go. But anyway, Holographic. How do you do that? Hey, remember those hypercolor shirts when you were a kid? Who had a hypercolor shirt? Who saw a hypercolor shirt? Ryan doesn't know what I'm talking about. You saw one? You're too young to see one. Did you see a hypercolor shirt? You didn't see a hypercolor shirt. You're like 8. I'm sorry, you're 12, right? Yeah. You're 12? You saw, did anybody see it? Does anybody remember hypercolor shirts? No. You don't know. I'm old. Wow, Aaron, tell me you know what a hypercolor shirt is. When you walked around during the day, why am I talking about this? This is really stupid. Oh, yeah. I don't know how I got off on this. But this is the entertaining the goats section of the sermon. Had to get the goats in here one way or another to listen. So, no, I'm just kidding. But you walked around, and then when your body temperature changed, the shirt changed. The shirt changed color. It was called a hypercolor shirt. What's the matter with you people? Those were cool. You wore them with like Bugle Boys? No, never mind. Hey, knock it off. Look, I'm 40, all right? Excuse me. Anyway, so that's what those are. How I got off on that. Yeah, I started talking about Nephilim's punching trees or something. I don't know. Anyway. I'm sending this around. Send it everywhere. I don't care. Anyway, yeah. Goats are often pushy and can cause undercurrents and dissension. Turmoil and agitation are part of their nature. This is because the goat has a dominating and controlling temperament, rather than a passive and submissive one. Right? They're not submissive at all. Like a sheep is very submissive, right? But a goat is not submissive. If you've had goats, you know they're not submissive. Ms. Bicey, did you get beat up by a goat? She doesn't like goats. I don't blame you. It bucked her? Oh no, it rammed you. You almost got gored. Pete, you got war stories. Why didn't he buck you in the rear end and just knock you down? No? That would have been funny if he'd have done that to you since you flying. Pete, that would have been great. That's because she's a sheep. That goat didn't like you. You're a lamb, and it didn't like lambs, right? So it picked on you. That's terrible. See? See? My goat stories are true. See? This is the Bible shows you the answer, right? Or gives it to you right there, right? And then the... Right? What's that? No. No, sheep are not. But goats are very dominating and very controlling in their temperaments. They have to control everything. Again, the internets and the Googles are full of sheep with goat's clothing. I believe that. Or sheep with goat's clothing. One of the two. Or goats with sheep's clothing. Some of these people are never satisfied. They're always hopping from one to another. Most goats are naturally horned, but many sheep breeds are pulled or naturally hornless. These goat horns can be used to bring harm to another. The goats are naturally quarrelsome and have short tempers. They rear and butt in order to establish dominance. I've seen that in meetings before, by the way. I've seen two goats go at it like right in front of me, like, whoa. More than once. Watch that happen. Not sheep, but goats looking to have the preeminence. Butting heads with each other. Not for the truth either, but for the sake of having the preeminence. They're very aggressive. The horn in the Bible was a representation of power and war and fighting. Goats are experts in opening gates and squeezing through small gaps because they hate to be confined. Fences that will handle sheep, cattle, and horses will not hold goats. They work tirelessly to spring themselves from any situation they deem inhibiting. Goats will knock down all hedges of protection that is set up from their shepherd or from their owner. They'll knock everything down to get out. I've seen that too. Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Right? Goats also like the high places. Think about that. They love the high places. Often heading upward, they are not herded as well as sheep because they would rather lead than follow. They don't want to follow. They want to lead. 1 Kings 13:33, it talks about the high places. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. 1 Kings 14:23 talks about those high places. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. Goats love high places. Sheep don't like being up high like that. They don't like that. They like that sure footing, right? They don't like to be up high like that. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, turn there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. The Bible talks about putting on that armor of God. We're almost done here tonight. It talks about that armor of God and putting it on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Look at this. Against spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Goats, they like to trot in the high places. They like to walk up and down in those high places. Sheep don't like that. That's not a good idea for them. They're like, that's not a good idea. It's not a good place to be. That's a little dangerous. But the goats love the danger. They like to be there. Two striking differences between sheep and goats are that goats have an excessively bad odor. And their tails are short and held high. They're very proud, right? They got their tail held high. Something just doesn't smell right about them, but you don't know what it is. I've met some of those. Some of those goats the Bible talks about. They will, you know, goats will nibble on the word of God a little here and a little there, yet they love to be seen in the high places. The goats, they walk with their tails held high, spiritually indicating pride, and they emit an offensive odor. Right? Very offensive. Spiritually, now, if you look at that, you just know it's not right. Yeah? Yeah, literally, sometimes it's right. There's something distinguishing about a goat, and that's the odor or air about them. You can tell there's something not right, like they don't fit in, they can't fit in. Right? They just can't. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5 talks about those goats, and they have to be seen of men. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They want to be seen by everybody doing something. Literally, I was listening to one of the brothers tell me a story the other day about somebody that was out street preaching with them. And they saw something that was disturbing. And immediately in front of everybody, this person drops down to their knee, puts their hand over their head, and starts praying in a manner that was like, okay, everybody just thought, right? And then I've seen it too, standing outside of abortion clinics, preaching and watching a guy laying flat on the ground with his Bible and like, just being a show-off. Yeah. Yeah. What is that? It's a goat wanting to be seen of men. That's what it is. Or somebody standing over an offering box, which, by the way, the offering box is there so nobody knows what you're doing anyway. Okay, because nobody really cares here what you're putting. If you don't put anything, we're not going to know. Okay? We don't know. And we're not worried about it. Right? But it sits back there, and it's there. And one of these guys was sitting there. We had preached on New Testament giving, and then, like, the next Sunday, this person's standing there with, like, I guess this other person said, with $40 in their hand, and they were going like this. and they were sitting down looking at the, waiting like for somebody to look at them. And then when the person looked at them, then they stuck it in the box. I mean, why? I mean, it's just, and they don't fit. They can't fit. I'm sorry. It's just, Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Sorry. You can't make it up. Listen, I pastored for 10 years, and I'm reading F.O. Nilsson's diary right now, and it is amazing. I might read some of this to you Sunday afternoon, because this is unreal. The stuff this guy went through, well, I shouldn't say it's unreal, because I've seen a lot of this stuff too. But it's something when you read it, and you read about these men and what they went through, and then the stuff that I've been through, and I want to go back and write down a bunch of stuff so I don't forget it, because when I'm like really old, I'm getting there, Brother Finney, but I got a while yet. But I don't want to forget about it, so I'm going to write it all down, because it's crazy stuff that, I mean, I'm hoping you guys remember. So if you can remember some of those crazy things, write them down for me. But and give them to Sarah, and she'll record them. But anyway, the point is that, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. It reads better than any fiction novel you could ever, I mean. Oh, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I go back and, like, I wouldn't want to tell this story to anybody, because I don't think they'd believe me. And that's why you don't try to defend anything like that, because it's like, why would you waste your time doing that? Because nobody's going to believe it anyway. It's so crazy, nobody's going to believe it. But thank God, I hope you never have to say anything like that. That's right. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude of his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. I don't have a phylactery. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. So the goats, they have to be seen, and they eventually stick out, and then they leave. Goats are driven, sheep are led. That's important to understand. Goats are driven. You have to drive a goat. Sheep you can lead. You can always tell the difference in the spirit of a church when those rebels or those goats or those wolves are out of the flock. Because a pastor doesn't have to really do a whole lot but lead the flock after that, because there's not a bunch of rebellion and a bunch of wicked sinners in there that are goats that want to stop the work of God, that distract people, because that's what goats do. Unlike sheep, goats have to be driven, being hard-headed, stiff-necked, and totally unaware of the need that surrounds them. Goats don't need a shepherd, because they are captains of their own proverbial ship and do whatever they please, when they please. Although they don't have the nature and character of God, in most cases they attend church, sing, and do religious works, but do not have within their hearts the compassion and mercy for others that comes from the Holy Spirit. Boy, I've seen that. They don't need a leader over them. They don't want a leader over them. They say, I don't need any man to do what God wants me to do. I'm just going to go do it. They'll go it alone. Goats are not always sinister like a wolf, but they cause much damage in a body due to their unregenerate nature. A wolf is out for destruction, but a goat is just following its own sinful heart, not necessarily sinister in nature. They're not all sinister. They're not really sinister. They're just following their own heart. But all these same traits can be in a wolf as well, but the motives of that wolf is utter destruction. Consequently, goats are not very good followers. Gregarious behavior is a term that refers to the flocking or herding instinct, which is found strongly in sheep, cattle, and horses. Again, this quality is rather weak in goats. They prefer leading or going off on their own. Meat packers use this instinct in sheep and goats to their advantage. That's what we're going to talk about next, a Judas goat. They will train an old goat, appropriately called a Judas, to lead sheep to the pens for slaughter. Oh, the Judas goat. A well-trained Judas will lead group after group of sheep to the slaughter all day long. You can't make it up, I'm telling you. A Judas goat is a trained goat used in general animal herding. The Judas goat is trained to associate with sheep or cattle, leading them to a specific destination. In stockyards, a Judas goat will lead sheep to slaughter while its own life is spared. Yeah, it's bad. Judas goats are also used to lead other animals to specific pens and onto trucks. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. That's what Judas goats do when they get into a flock. Okay? That's what they do. They'll lead people astray and lead them into danger. Right? That's what they do. They're mainly what a goat does is distract people. It distracts the sheep. And when you have goats in the flock, they'll distract the flock. They'll distract the church. The mission will be distracted. Right? See, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let's look at the average church that caters to the goats on Sunday. What do? They bust the goats in. They have all their programs crafted for the goats. All their time and energy is spent on entertaining the goats. And the sermon has to be 38 minutes long. Or is it 28? Sorry, 28. I maybe added 10 minutes for inflation, but anyway. But 28 minutes long, it's 30 by the invitation. Right? You have to have special days. You have to have big days to invite people to. Why? Because you're entertaining goats. And your church is full. When your church is filled with goats like that, you're constantly entertaining, and you have to do things to keep them. So you have to have programs to keep the goats entertained, because the goats are always looking for a way to escape. They're always looking for the next CCM concert to go to. They're always looking for the next Sight and Sound concert to go to. They're always looking for the next church that they can hop to that's going to entertain them. And when these goats get bigger, when these kids grow into goats, what do? Now they're all over the place. Now they're into... I'm watching them. They're into CCM. They're dressed like a bunch of whores. And they're out running around. They grew up in fundamental Baptist churches. And they're running around like that. Why? Because they're a bunch of goats. And they're being entertained. They weren't being preached to. They didn't get the devil preached out of them. They're being entertained. They're just being entertained. Right? That's what happens. They were being entertained. And that's what you do with goats. You have to entertain them. You have to keep them busy. So they have to be driven like that. So they drive them. And that's why the church has turned into that now. It's a place to entertain goats and to feed wolves. And it keeps them busy. So that's the difference in goats. And we'll talk about on Sunday what Jesus said when he said, "My sheep." And the Good Shepherd. We'll talk about that. I don't know if we'll get through that all on Sunday or which direction I'll go exactly with that. But we'll talk about hirelings versus a shepherd and more of that. But I thought it was interesting that Judas goat is very fitting. And it explains why Jesus said, what did Jesus say in the beginning? He said, And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. His sheep, right? From the goats. Goats aren't supposed to be with the sheep. They don't do well. Now it'll be revealed what they are, and God reveals that, but they don't fit in. They can't stay there. They don't want to be in a flock, first of all. So they end up leaving. Where a wolf has sinister plans to stick around to hurt somebody, a goat, he just is just there to be there, and as soon as it's convenient for them, they'll leave. Right? Anyway, so good start, good study here, but we'll look at getting into it a little bit deeper here Sunday. Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you that it's so plain and clear to understand. Help us to see it. Help us to be sensitive to it, Lord. Thank you that we are sheep of your pasture, Lord, and help us to follow the good shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.